go to. There's a part of, we're studying light. But light be burning in verse 35 of Luke 12, but we didn't finish part of it, of the light. So let's go to Matthew 6:22. We've studied this scripture many times, but it's a little bit different. Verse 22 of Matthew 6. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. But if thine eye be evil, then the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, the word light there is the same word that we've been looking at for luktos. It's the lamp that can be put on a candlestick or is carried. And so this is kind of interesting because the light of the body is the eye, and if you can understand what it's saying, is that this mystery of the Holy Spirit burning in that oil, or the oil of the Holy Spirit burning in your eye, then you can come up with see a totally different view of what that scripture means. If thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. But if thine eye be double, or porneo, which means that you see labor or toil, then even the light that is in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? Now, we could talk about a jillion things about that, but the one thing that somebody, we were talking in the last couple of days, over the last few years, she's gone to many, many churches, including a lot of the charismatic churches, and she was always criticized because she wasn't necessarily polite in her conversation, and there were certain words you shouldn't say. Now, if you believe that, then what the scriptures say is that that means that you have to complete all of the law. If you have any law that you are trying to put foist upon someone else, then you're subject to the entire law. Now, that means you have to go and rebuild the temple. You have to find the ashes of the red heifer. You have to find the whole nine yards. So if you have any shoulds in your mind, this is what I should do or I shouldn't do, then you've missed the whole point of this mystery of the cross. Amen? Everybody understand? Do you have any shoulds or ought tos?
Not a one. You should just go right ahead now.
No, we're finding more about shoulds and ought tos. Somebody should behave this way or that way. Remember what it says in Galatians. Those that desire to make a fair show on the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Remember, the word circumcised doesn't, in Greek, was just stop doing something or change. Do you have anything you want to circumcise, Mr. Jeff?
Not today.
You don't have anybody you want them to change?
Not looking down.
You're lying through your teeth. All right, that's enough of that. Let's go to John 5. Yeah, because then you have the singular to that is you have an investment in the outcome.
Right.
All right, let's go to John, starting in verse, John 5, starting in verse.
You have to be hard preaching without expectations.
30.
That's a selfless act.
Everybody there?
John what?
Chapter 5, verse 30. Again, Gary's the last one to get there. All right. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent, yea, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He, John the Baptist, was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to receive his light.
Rejoice.
What?
Rejoice in his light. You said receive.
Oh, rejoice, yeah. Now, the best example of what let your light be burning, the best example of that is John the Baptist. Let your light be burning. It never stops, never, it's always manifested. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. One more, 2 Peter. Chapter 1. This is again the last letter that Peter wrote. Starting verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease, or it says Exodus, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now that's obviously on the Mount of Transfiguration. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy than they did, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. It still just blows me away that there they saw the what had to be one of the greatest events ever in the history of the universe. That time, space, gravity, everything lost hold on him, and he was transfigured. And yet, Peter says, we have a more sure word than that. Why? We've talked about this many times.
Holy Spirit.
No, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's more sure than anyone, than anything. That's why you take heed as to the light shining in the dark place. There's no one here that hasn't at least seen a little glimmer of light in the dark place. Now take heed unto that light, that you too might become a burning and shining light continually. All right? All right, let's go on. Let's go to back to Luke.
Let's look at this, because of one thing that we're talking about, you shouldn't do anything. Now we're talking about you should do this. And I think it gets back to the, if you're looking at scriptures for yourself, you're in the wrong spot. But if you're looking from God's eyes and see that this is Christ revealed, there's no should or shouldn't. It's just, that's what it is.
The should or shouldn't, the should is if it's something and you're not, and it isn't happening, it's it requires repentance. It's not just it's not laissez-faire Christianity. You've got to have the, everything must bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, including the preaching of the cross. If that isn't where you are, then Father, forgive me. I haven't seen my death. Now, none of this would be possible unless he was, in fact, in you and in all men. Otherwise, if that weren't true, then everything we talked about would have to be something you do or don't do. Amen?
This brings up James 1, where I'm remembering James was talking about what do we do the works of God. And it addresses this subject. We look into the perfect law of liberty.
And we remain therein.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this taking heed is referring to.
Right.
It's a...
Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. For the hearer is like one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and sees himself, and straight away goes off and...
Yeah.
The hearer of the word is that one. The doer of the word is one who looks into that perfect law of liberty and remains therein. So the doer, I mean, how many thousand, if you've been around as long as I have, there are thousands of them, but the there's preachments on that be doer of the word and not a hearer only. And so, and what that says, well, this is what you've got to do then. You've got to go and you've got to make converts and you've got to go and do this and you've got to go and do that so that you are a doer of the world because you want to do something. But that's the opposite of what James says. Everybody understand that? All right. Back to Luke.
Just one more comment. That's where you quit judging yourself and forgive yourself. You're not in the picture.
Unless you raise yourself from the deadly head wound. Then you're in the picture totally, and then you have to repent. It's always repentance.
Well, it's forgiveness of self. That's what I was talking about.
Well, but...
From that point, then you're free to look and not be plagued with guilt.
Well, if you haven't forgiven yourself, you can't see in the first place. If you haven't forgiven everybody else, you can't see. You think you see, but you don't.
That's what the darkness is. The light is darkness.
Right. It doesn't matter whether it's yourself or anybody else or any situation or thing you've been involved in. If you can't forgive yourself, then you can't, none of this is, this is just bouncing off the ceiling.
Yeah.
All right. Verse 36 now, chapter 12 of Luke. Well, we just studied, let your loins be girded about and your light burning, lights burning. And you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. And then again, then the next one, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to food, and will come forth and serve them. Now, the whole idea, this word wait, you are like men that wait. It's a word that means to wait expectantly. Wait with confidence. Another word that's used for the same thing is a word that's in 2 Peter, where it talks about your attitude of life, that it's hasting this end time. Hasting. Let's go there, 2 Peter 3. Verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That word hasting, it's not the same word, but it means the same thing as where it says we are waiting. It's not just waiting and hanging around, it's waiting expectantly. So that your being, as your entire being, is wrapped up in that. All right? What?
Wrapped up in what? Wrapped up in
what you're waiting for.
For the end?
Everything. The whole meaning of what hasting or the fear of waiting for the Lord. It's.
That's when your eye is single.
That right. There's nothing else.
Yeah.
I
was thinking something not so good there. It's like, it's easy for him to say. I mean, he just sat there a few months later or years or whatever it was, had tongues of fire on his head, and you know, and they're probably expecting something great and big, and Jesus is going to come back and the earth's going to end, and you know, here we are 2,000 years later and nothing's happened, and you know.
Well, you know why nothing's happened? He's waiting for you.
I understand.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men's count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Amen?
So be glad.
All right. Waiting and hasting, and it's just this, you know, how do you do that? Well, you can't learn how to do it. The only way you do that is because you've seen something. First of all, you've seen as we've talked about many times, the crap of the world. And then you've seen something about him and the knowledge that Christ is in you. And everything else just fades. All right. Right back to Luke 12:36. You yourselves are like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will come from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. We're going to look at this knock thing, what that means, and then we're going to look at immediately, and then we're going to quit forever and ever. No, I know. Let's go to Matthew 7.
Verse
This is a kind of the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Actually, it began earlier, but in chapter 5. But let's put it in context. Start in verse 1 of chapter 7. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote from thine eye, and behold, the beam is thine own eye, in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou be see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their foot and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, Jesus Christ is always the door. In the tabernacle in the wilderness, he was the door to get into the tabernacle. But he's also offering and everything else, but he's always the door. And every time that something happens that is offensive to you or hurtful to you, anytime there is a negative feeling about yourself, that's him knocking. And Well, let's look at some more. Let's go to Acts 12.
Does it work both ways?
Yeah. Huh?
He knocks on our door, or we knock on his.
No, we don't. No. He has to knock.
He knocks? How about we knock?
That's not what it says.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
It shall be open. You're right. All right. Let's go to Revelation. I know. Let's go to Acts 12. You're right. He's always knocking. We have to open. And in desperation, we knock. And he opens. All right. Acts, what did I say? 12. That's too obtuse. Let's go to Revelation 3. Sorry, Pete. This is the seventh of the seven messages to the churches. And this is the one to the church at Laodicea, the most corrupt. Well, anyway, let's read it. Starting verse 14. And the angel of the Lord of the church of the Laodiceans, unto the angel of the Lord of the church of the Laodiceans. And what the word doesn't mean there's an angel flying around over these churches. The leader of every one of those churches was called the angel. Angel just means messenger.
Where are you? Sorry.
Revelation 3, 14. Chapter 14.
Verse 14.
What? Didn't I just say that?
That's Acts. Chapter
14. Oh, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. I'm sorry. And I get confused easily. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You can't hear the knock. Only the poor can hear the knock. And the poor, does, as we know, has nothing to do with money. It's that you're tired unto death of the crap in your life, of making bricks without straw, not fulfilling everything you think you should. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, he knows whether or not you're sincere. Because where is he? He's here in you already. We're just trying to use him for a time. All right. We're gonna look at immediately.
No, that's a fork in the road right there, where you're totally wasted and you cry out for real, versus you're really down and low and you need God real bad to get you back up. That's the two churches that we're talking about today. It's the televangelists who will carry that line out and help you get yourself together, give you promises of God, raise the old man up, versus the preaching of the cross, which embraces that desperation.
Everything, just about everything about God is counterintuitive, because it's just look at it, the two-bit disciples. He should have gotten some really champions. You look at the parables about even more two-bit disciples. As we all are. All right, take a big guess.